Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the webcast for the Fall 2025 Block Energy and Capacity RFP, or BEC RFP. My name is Katie Orlandi, and I work for NERA Economic Consulting, the procurement administrator on behalf of the Illinois Power Agency. And presenting with me today is Paul Cardona, who's also from NERA. This webcast is going to cover three procurement events that will be held under this fall BEC RFP. This includes two events to procure block energy for Ameren, Illinois, and Commonwealth Edison, and a third procurement event for capacity for Ameren, Illinois. A heads up that throughout this presentation, we will refer to the utilities as follows. So Ameren, Illinois is AIC, and Commonwealth Edison is ComEd. We're going to take questions at the end of the presentation as time permits. To submit questions, please use the chat icon at the bottom of your screen, and type in your question and hit enter. So you know the presentation materials, including an audio recording and the questions and answers, will be posted to the procurement website today, which is ipa-energyrfp.com. So first, a quick disclaimer that any statements herein are made on the call describing or referring to the RFP and the contract documents are summaries only and are qualified in their entirety by the governing documents. The governing documents include the contract documents posted on July 22nd and the RFP documents posted on July 23rd. These documents are currently available on the procurement website, again, ipa-energyrfp.com. Bidders bear full responsibility for reviewing and understanding these documents. Before I move to the agenda, this is just a slide to show you where you can navigate to the documents. On the left-hand side, you'd click Block Energy and Capacity, and then Final Materials on the left-hand navigation side. So, on the call today, I'm going to start with an overview of the procurement events, including the products to be procured. I'll provide some details on the contracts and then a general overview of the process and timeline over the next couple of months. And then for the second half of the presentation, Paul will take over and he'll cover the details for how to qualify and the bid submission and evaluation procedures. So on September 30th, 2024, the IPA filed its procurement plan with the ICC. The plan was approved by the ICC on December 19th, 2024. The procurement plan provides for three procurement events to be held this fall under the Block Energy and Capacity RFP. As I mentioned, NERA serves as the procurement administrator for the RFP. And in this role, we're your main point of contact. We review the qualification materials that you submit to us, and we evaluate the bids that are received on the bid date. If you have questions, please direct questions regarding the procurement event to NERA. This slide introduces the products that are available in the RFP for both energy and capacity. Then I'm going to move to more detailed slides on the next few slides related first to energy and then capacity specifically. So the RFP seeks to procure block energy for AIC and ComEd. The products available are specific quantities of on-peak and off-peak energy in monthly periods from October 2025 through May 2028. Notably, there are no quantities to be procured in the fall for Mid-American. The capacity product is procured for AIC only. Specifically, this RFP seeks to procure zonal resource credits, or ZRCs, for a given season as defined by MISO for the 2026-27 and 2027-28 planning years, in order to fulfill a portion of the forecast requirement for AIC for these 2 years. There is a new option beginning with the RFPs in 2025 for capacity bidders to bid on annual combinations, which is a grouping of ZRCs that includes all 4 seasons. Also, beginning in spring There was a new financially settled swap contract that's available for ZRCs, and we'll discuss this a bit further later in the slides. So, an energy product represents block energy for a company, either AIC or ComEd. It's for a specific segment, so either on-peak or off-peak hours, and for a given month. The quantity of each product is divided into blocks of 25 megawatts. The targets, which are the number of blocks to be procured for each product in the RFP, are provisional at this time. The final targets are going to be posted by August 18th, but if you download the RFP and review the tables in the slides today, these are the provisional targets. Bidders can also bid on combination of energy products for a particular company, an on-peak or off-peak segment. The available combinations are January, February, March, April, July, August, Q4, and then an annual combination, including all months, June to May of the planning year. The number of blocks available in a combination is set to the minimum number of blocks available across each of the months within that combination. And I'm going to give an example of that here on the next slide. So this slide provides the provisional targets for AIC, along with an example of how the number of available blocks for combinations are set. Again, targets are provided separately by company, segment, and month. The top table includes the provisional targets for individual monthly products. So, for example, for October 2025, in the top row, the target is 6 blocks for the on-peak segment and 5 blocks for the off-peak segment. In the bottom table here, we have the number of blocks available for each combination on a preliminary basis. So, specifically, we're calling out July, August 2026 combination. There are 8 on-peak blocks available, and that's because the minimum number of blocks available for each of July and August 2026 in the top table is 8 applicable to that August product. The bid evaluation for block energy considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. These benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology that's approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. After that first step for the block energy events, the evaluation will identify the least cost package for each company. So that completes the overview of the energy products. The next several slides are going to be related to capacity. As defined in MISO's tariff, a ZRC represents 1 megawatt of seasonal accredited capacity that qualifies to satisfy the resource adequacy requirement for a given season of a planning year in a local resource zone. The season definitions from MISO are provided here in a sub-bullet. New for 2025, there are 2 capacity contracts available. One is for what we call MISO delivered ZRCs, and the other is for financially settled ZRCs. I'm going to provide detail on the requirements and settlement for both contracts, but upfront here, I just wanted to note that bidders that qualify with a successful proposal under the capacity procurement event can submit bids for one or both options. So the qualification requirements to submit bids for both contracts are the same. So, in regard to MISO delivered ZRCs, bidders that have bids approved for these specific ZRCs will sign the AIC MISO delivered capacity agreement that's posted to the website. This is the same contract that's been offered in AIC procurement events prior to 2025 with just several administrative edits. Under this contract, ZRCs must be transferred to AIC using MISO's Module E capacity tracking tool by the delivery deadline specified in the contract, which is ahead of MISO's upcoming planning resource auction. ZRCs from all local resource zones can be offered. There'll be a payment adjustment for ZRCs from outside of the compliance zone that are selected and approved through the RFP. The compliance zone is Local Resource Zone 4. Bidders that have bids approved for financially settled ZRCs will sign the AIC financially settled capacity agreement on the website. Under this financial swap contract, financially settled ZRCs will mirror volumes of ZRCs awarded in the AIC capacity procurement event, as well as settlement prices under MISO's PRA, but they do not require the transfer of ZRCs to Ameren. Financial settlement is based on the ACP for the compliance zone, which again is zone four, and financial settlement can be positive or negative. Beginning in 2025, another new option was added so that bidders can submit a bid on annual combinations for each of the planning years for both MISO delivered or financially settled ZRCs. So, an annual combination includes one ZRC from each season of the planning year. So, similar to the block energy procurement, where annual combinations are also available, the number of ZRCs available in an annual combination is just set to the minimum of the ZRCs available across the seasons in that planning year. So, ZRCs for a given season of a planning year will be procured up to a target for that season across both MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs. So, bids for MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs are evaluated together up to a single target. The targets in the RFP for capacity are also provisional at this time. We expect to release final targets by August 18th. And this slide here provides again another numerical example for how we calculate the combinations that are available. A bid in the capacity event includes a price in dollar per megawatt day for ZRCs for a given season of a planning year or for an annual combination. A bid also includes the number of ZRCs to which the price applies, and then for MISO delivered ZRCs, a bid must include the source zone of the ZRCs, which is the LRZ where the ZRCs are located. Each bid submitted in the capacity event must be for at least four ZRCs. In the second half of the presentation, Paul is going to provide more details on how to fill out the bid form, and how to submit your bid form. But we want to note up front that generally the evaluation of bids for capacity will proceed independently for the planning year and will consist of two steps as well. First, the evaluation considers only bids that meet or beat the benchmarks. Again, benchmarks are developed using a confidential methodology that's approved by the Illinois Commerce Commission. And then second, the evaluation identifies the least cost package. This next section is going to provide an overview of the supplier contracts. The final contracts were posted on July 22nd. There are separate energy contracts for AIC and ComEd, and then separate capacity contracts for MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs. Each contract posted is standard and non-negotiable, and bidders are required to accept the terms of the contract for the procurement event or events in which they're applying to submit bids during the qualification process. This means, in effect, all bidders in the procurement event are agreeing to the same terms and also will be agreeing ahead of time to execute the contract and related documents within 3 days of commission decision on the results if they have bids that are selected. Notably, the contracts for fall 2025 are the same as those used in spring 2025. This slide provides the main credit terms for the energy contracts. So, the exposure calculation is based on a mark-to-market methodology. So, there may be a collateral requirement applicable to the seller. This requirement will apply to the seller only. If there is a collateral requirement, the seller must post performance assurance in the form of cash or a letter of credit or a guarantee. And within each contract that's posted, there are standard letters of credit and guarantee forms, along with a list of modifications to those forms that would be acceptable to the respective company. If a seller has multiple contracts with the buyer, then a single guarantee can be used. This slide provides a description of the payment under the MISO delivered AIC capacity contract. So, for a given source zone and for a given season of a planning year, the amount paid to the seller is the average of the seller's approved bids for the season and source zone, multiplied by the number of ZRCs delivered, multiplied by the number of calendar days in the season. And again, physical ZRCs must be transferred to AIC through MISO's tracking tool. Payment for ZRCs from zones outside the compliance zone, which is LRZ4, will be adjusted. That adjustment is based on the applicable auction clearing price for the source zone of the selected ZRC relative to the auction clearing price for the compliance zone. And we currently have posted to our website examples for how this payment adjustment would be done. And you can use the link provided here to review those numerical examples. This slide provides the description of payment and reporting terms under the financially settled AIC capacity contract. So, for a given season of a planning year, the financial settlement amount equals the product of one, the result obtained by subtracting the ACP from the AIC compliance zone for the season from the average of the seller's own approved bids for that season. Two, the number of calendar days in the season, and three, the number of ZRCs approved by the commission. If financial settlement is positive, then AIC will pay the seller. If it's negative, then the seller will pay AIC, and there's no transfer of physical ZRCs, under the contract. We currently have posted to our website FAQs, that also give an example of this positive or negative settlement. And so you can use the link here to review those FAQs. And notably, I want to touch on the last bullet. The seller is responsible for all required reporting to the Commodity Futures Trading Commission and will be the reporting counterparty under the contract. This is the final slide in this section, and it covers the main credit terms for the AIC capacity contracts. Again, the collateral requirement applies only to the seller. Exposure under both of the contracts will be 10% of the contract value as defined in the respective contracts and is required on the effective date. For MISO delivered ZRCs, the contract value is based on the bids approved and any payment adjustment for ZRCs that are from a zone outside of the compliance zone. If after any adjustments, the seller is required to pay the buyer, then the exposure is simply the amount owed to the buyer. Any required performance assurance can be posted in the form of cash, a letter of credit, or a guarantee. There are standard forms of letters of credit and guarantee also provided as attachments to these contracts, and you must use these forms. You can review lists of acceptable modifications that have been pre-approved in regard to both of these forms, and that's currently posted on the website. So that concludes the overview of the contracts. In this next section, I have an overview of the RFP process. So, in order to qualify to bid in the BEC RFP, you need to submit qualification materials to us online. If you're a new bidder and you've not yet registered for an account to access the online forms to submit your proposal, you should do that now. You can register by going to the procurement site, ipa-energyrfp.com. Click on qualification form on the left-hand side and then register here. Alternatively, you can send us an email with the information that's requested on the slide. It's the individual that registers for the account that's going to receive an email from us with account activation instructions. Current account holders do not need to re-register through the website or by email. We will send current account holders information to log in. A current account holder is a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2023 or later. or an account holder that registered in 2023 or later. So if you fall into this bucket, even though you don't need to re-register, you will have to activate your account new again in order to access the form. For a bidder that qualified to participate in a procurement event in 2023 or later, it's the representative from the last procurement event in which you participated that will receive an email with an activation link. If you have not participated, but you've registered, then it's the individual that registered for the account that's going to get this link. We're going to also send you instructions to access and complete the online forms, to fill things out, how to navigate the forms. We'll include screenshots. Also, notably, we have two-factor authentication available, as an opt-in security feature. So, if you are a current account holder or if you're new and registered for an account, you should expect to receive all this information by email from us prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. So, here we have the calendar for the RFP. The process is going to kick off on Tuesday, August 5th. This is when applicants can begin submitting their proposal materials. The proposal is submitted in two parts, a part one proposal and then a part two proposal. The part two includes posting bid assurance collateral. So the part one window is from August 5th through August 12th. Applicants must pay a $500 bid participation fee by the part one deadline on August 12th if this fee has not already been paid in 2025. We will provide you with instructions for payment for this fee prior to the opening of the Part 1 window. Bidders are then notified whether they qualified and can submit a Part 2 proposal by the Part 1 notification date on August 18th. And then the very next day, the Part 2 window will open, and Part 2 proposals, including posting cash or a letter of credit as bid assurance collateral, will be due on August 28th for energy bidders. The bid assurance collateral for capacity will be due on September 18th, so much closer to the capacity bid date. Then on September 3rd, we'll hold a bidder training for energy bidders. This is the opportunity for qualified bidders to practice the bid submission procedures that would be used on the bid date. The bid date for the energy events is Monday, September 8th, with an ICC decision on the results expected Thursday that week. It's the results on the bid date are preliminary. They are subject to ICC approval. The capacity bid date will be held on Friday, September 26th. There's a separate training planned for capacity bidders on the 24th, so 2 days ahead of the bid date. And in regard to capacity, the ICC is expected to render a decision on October 2nd. So, just a rundown again of the process. It's going to begin in early August, proceed over approximately 2 months. Suppliers start by submitting the Part 1 proposal to become qualified for one or more events. Suppliers may then submit the Part 2 proposal for any event in which they qualified. Bids are submitted and evaluated on dedicated bid dates. Then both the procurement administrator, so NERA, and the procurement monitor for this RFP will submit separate reports on the results to the commission, and then the commission will render a decision on the results for each event. Once that's completed, the utilities and winning sellers can proceed to executing the contracts, and winning sellers are required to pay supplier fees to the IPA. So, this slide provides the supplier fee estimates, which are to be paid to the IPA by winning suppliers within 7 days of commission approval of the results. These estimates are $524 per on-peak block, $349 per off-peak block, and $20 per ZRC. We will announce final supplier fees no later than 4 business days before the applicable bid date. So that concludes the first half of the presentation. I'm going to go ahead and pass the presentation to Paul.
All right, thank you, Katie. Next, I'll review the RFP process requirements that Katie briefly went over in the previous section. All bidders participating in the fall 2025 BEC procurement events must complete a two-part application process. This first portion of the process is called the Part 1 proposal and consists of information submitted through the online Part 1 form, supporting documents that are either uploaded to the form or sent by email to the procurement administrator, inserts, which are standalone forms in Microsoft Word available for download from the website, the procurement website. Please note that these inserts are retained from previous or are not retained from previous procurement events. Lastly, you also will be required to pay a bid participation fee due directly to the IPA if you have not already done so in a previous 2025 procurement event. Note, as Katie mentioned, the Part 1 proposal is due by 12 p.m. noon Central on Tuesday, August 12th. The Part 1 form will ask for basic information about the bidder, including its name and address. For a bidder in the energy procurement events, the bidder will need to provide information about its participation in PJM and MISO. The bidder will also need to name an officer who will sign all certifications in the Part 1 and Part 2 proposal, a representative who serves as the bidder's main point of contact for purposes of the RFP, as well as any nominees. It's important to note that we will only communicate with the representative nominees, so bidders must ensure that the people who are working on the proposal on behalf of the bidder are those who are also named in the proposal itself. The officer of the bidder is required to make several certifications and signing. By signing inserts with the Part 1 and Part 2 proposals, the officer may sign all required Part 1 and Part 2 inserts at once and submit all inserts with the Part 1 proposal for early processing if they choose so. A bidder that submits all inserts with the Part 1 proposal is not required to resubmit these inserts with the Part 2 form. There are two methods for signing inserts. You may either sign with a digital signature and provide an additional document or information that verifies the identity of the signatory, or you can sign it with a scanned wet signature or an electronic signature. An insert completed with a digital signature may be uploaded to the online form or emailed to the procurement administrator. However, an insert completed with a scanned wet or electronic signature must submit these inserts by email with the signatory or with the signatory on copy. All Part 1 and Part 2 inserts are posted to the procurement website at this time, and each insert includes specific instructions for their completion. All bidders must pay a single bid participation fee of $500 for all 2025 procurement events. This bid participation fee is due to the IPA by 12 p.m. noon on the Part 1 date of August 12th. Payment by check is not acceptable. There are only two accepted methods of payment, and those methods are both electronic, so you may either e-pay online or pay by ACH. We will send out a complete set of instructions when we issue accounts. This information will be sent to all current account holders and those individuals who have recently requested qualification credentials. With the Part 1 proposal, bidders must provide certain financial information. Bidders start by naming the entity on whose financial standing the bidder is relying. The bidder chooses to rely on either its own financial standing or on the financial standing of another party. The bidder must then provide credit ratings for that entity, as well as annual and quarterly financial information. Please note that if any of the information is not available for the entity on whose financial standing the bidder relies, you must state this fact in Section 10, Justification of Omissions, of the online Part 1 form. Additional information and inserts are required for each procurement event you are participating in. Bidders participating in AIC Energy will fill out Section 4 of the online Part 1 form. ComEd will be Section 5, and AIC Capacity will be Section 7. Under those sections, you'll be asked for information to prepare the applicable supplier contracts via inserts provided as a Word document, as well as make several representations by the officer of the bidder. Again, the Part 2 proposal will require additional representations from the officer that can be provided along with the Part 1 proposal. Sections 8 and 9 in the Part One form must be filled out as needed by bidders applying either under an agency agreement, which is Section 8, or Section 9, which is bidders that are relying on the financial standing of a foreign guarantor. For the block energy procurement events, the public results release will include the expected fuel mix related to winning bids aggregated across winning bidders. The officer of the bidder must then must certify that the bidder will submit a complete fuel mix report by 6 p.m. on September 9th, which is the day after the bid date. Additionally, the IPA will request the actual fuel mix for energy supplied from each winning bidder in December for the preceding 6 months of the planning year, as well as in June for the preceding 6 months of the prior planning year in which energy is supplied. A bidder that successfully completes the Part One proposal for a procurement event receives a Part One notification for that procurement event. The Part One notification will be provided to bidders on August 18th via a secure electronic method. The Part One notification includes documents for submission of the Part Two proposal, namely the amounts of bid assurance collateral required to bid on all blocks for each company, bid forms, information needed to submit the bid forms, an invitation to training where bidders will practice the bid submission procedures. And finally, we'll also include a Microsoft Excel version of the fuel mix report that is due by 6 p.m. on September 9th for bidders who have bids identifying as winning bids to the ICC in the block energy procurement events. The Part 2 proposal consists of information submitted through the online Part 2 form, signed certifications, the submission of bid assurance collateral in the form of cash or an executed pre-bid letter of credit, and the bids themselves. Again, there are multiple deadlines for the Part Two proposal. Energy bid assurance collateral is due with the Part Two form by August 28th. Energy bids are due on September 8th. Capacity bid assurance collateral is due by September 18th, and capacity bids are due on September 26th. To meet bid assurance collateral requirements, bidders may either provide a pre-bid letter of credit or post cash. A separate pre-bid letter of credit must be submitted for each procurement event. The pre-bid letters of credit must be submitted electronically only, as well as from the issuing bank to the email addresses provided in the LC. So this includes 2 to 3 emails from each company, as well as the procurement administrator's email address. The LC must be in the standard format or incorporate only modifications deemed acceptable to the applicable company. The final pre-bid letters of credit and the acceptable modifications are posted to the RFP website and are dated June 27th. Bidders choosing to post cash to meet the bid assurance collateral requirements must provide several documents, including a cash insert for each company containing certain acknowledgments, as well as a draft request for the return of cash. Bidders in the ComEd procurement event must provide the W-9 for the entity to which cash is to be returned. Bidders in the AIC procurement events must provide an email address for account setup in AIC's vendor portal for the return of cash. Please note that setup in AIC's vendor portal may take 6 business days following the ICC decision of the applicable procurement event. If a bidder submits a Part 2 proposal to participate in both the AIC Energy and AIC Capacity procurement events, a single wire transfer to AIC in the amount required for both events is acceptable. For AIC Energy and ComEd, bid assurance collateral must be in the amount of $5,000 per block, subject to a minimum per company, which is $250,000. The procurement administrator will confirm the number of blocks a bidder can bid in the AIC Energy or ComEd procurement events based on the amount of the applicable bid assurance collateral provided. For AIC capacity, the bid assurance collateral required is $200,000, regardless of the amount a bidder plans to bid. Bidders submit bids in the procurement events exclusively using the bid forms provided with the Part One notification. Incomplete or inconsistent bid forms will not be evaluated. Bidders will have until the end of the bid submission window to cure any deficiency in the bid form. If the procurement administrator provides notice of a deficiency with less than 10 minutes remaining in the bid window, then the bidder will have 10 minutes to cure the deficiency. Bid forms must be submitted to the procurement administrator via a secure bid transfer site. A step-by-step guide for bid submission is provided with the Part 1 notification. Bidders will have an opportunity to practice the bid submission process as well as a backup method during a training session. Please note that there is no webcast accompanying the bidder training session. It is done through the secure bid transfer site as well as via phone directly with the procurement administrator. Again, there are different bid dates for the energy and capacity procurement events. The energy bid date is Monday, September 8th, and the capacity bid date is Friday, September 26th. For the energy procurements, there are overlapping bid windows. So for bids for the 2026, 2027, and 2027, 2028 delivery years, they're due 1 hour prior to bids for the 2025 to 2026 delivery year. While notification is not required prior to ICC approval under the Public Utilities Act, the procurement administrator aims to notify bidders whether their bids are identified as winning bids to the ICC by phone by 6 p.m. on the bid day with a written notice to follow. For bidders with winning bids, there are a couple of deadlines to flag here. First, if not already provided, bidders with winning bids must provide the contract inserts for preparation of the applicable supplier contract documents by 12 p.m. noon Central on the next business day. This is true for both the block energy and capacity procurement events. Second, bidders with winning bids in a block energy procurement event must provide the fuel mix data using Appendix 20 by 6 p.m. Central the next business day. The procurement administrator and procurement monitor will then each submit a confidential report to the ICC within 2 business days of the applicable bid date. The ICC will then decide whether to accept the results of each procurement event within 2 business days of receiving such reports from the procurement administrator and the procurement monitor. As for the contracts, each company will prepare and send via electronic means the partially executed contract documents to winning bidders. Winning bidders should not prepare the contract documents on their end. Winning bidders must use the standard non-negotiable contract documents provided by the company and may not introduce edits. ComEd will prepare the guarantee for the winning bidder, and bidders will have the option to amend their guarantee for ComEd instead of signing a replacement guarantee. However, winners with for AIC and MEC for AIC will prepare and submit their own guarantees for electronic receipt by AIC. Bidders will then countersign, send back electronically the contract documents, and fulfill their creditworthiness requirements that are specific to each company. A summary of the contract execution process will be provided to bidders. To note, sellers that are unable to execute the contract documents for ComEd using a wet signature will be required to use a digital signature and provide evidence such as a certificate of process flow report. Lastly, supplier fees are due to the IPA within 7 business days of the ICC decision of a procurement event. If supplier fees are not paid by the deadline, bid assurance collateral may be drawn upon. This next section of the webcast will be dedicated to energy bids and energy bid forms. So, a bid, as Katie mentioned in the block energy procurement event, consists of both price and quantity. Specifically, a bid is a price for a block of a product or for a block of a combination and is expressed in dollars per megawatt hour. Note you can bid on all blocks for a product, and it doesn't preclude you from also submitting bids on combinations that include that product. So, as an example, say the target is 2 blocks for February 2026 during the on-peak period for a utility. A bidder can submit a bid for both February 2026 and individual blocks, as well as the January-February combination. In total, the bidder is submitting bids for 3 blocks in February 2026, even though the target is 2 blocks. Bidders successfully submitting a Part 1 proposal for energy products will receive 2 bid forms with the Part 1 notification. Each bid form is associated with overlapping bid windows, as I mentioned before. From 8:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. for the 2026, 2027, and 2027, 2028 delivery years. And the bid window for the 2025, 2026 delivery year is 8:30 a.m. to 11 a.m. This next slide will be dedicated to the concept of maximum willingness supply, or also referred to as MWS. MWS is a maximum number of blocks that a bidder wants to win for a particular segment and month for a company. So the procurement administrator calculates a default MWS, which is the minimum of the target for a segment in a month, and the number of blocks bid across all products and combinations that include that segment in a month. The bidder may, but is not required to specify MWS for a segment of a month to override this default. I'll now go over an example on this slide. Note that this screenshot is illustrative only and does not follow the exact bid form. Say a bidder wants to win up to two February blocks for a segment for a utility denoted in the cell outline green at the bottom of the slide. The bidder would specify MWS for February of two blocks, but they could submit bids for two individual February blocks and submit bids for two January-February combination blocks and submit bid for one annual combination block. In total, this bidder is bidding five blocks across all products and combinations that include February. However, the procurement administrator could select as many bids up to two blocks from some combination of the bids for the individual February blocks, the January-February combination block, or the annual combination block. The bid evaluation proceeds in two steps. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And step two, bids are selected that yield the lowest average cost per megawatt hour. This last section of the presentation is going to be dedicated to AIC capacity bids and the AIC capacity bid form. Bids for each season in the planning year will be submitted in a single bid form. There are two tabs for each planning year, one tab for MISO-delivered ZRCs and one tab for financially settled ZRCs. A bid consists of, for each season or for an annual combination, a quantity of ZRCs, a price associated with the quantity of ZRCs expressed in dollars per megawatt day, and for MISO-delivered ZRCs only, the local resource zone of those ZRCs. Please note that there is now a requirement that you must bid for at least four ZRCs for a given season at each price point. This requirement is only applicable to bids for individual seasons of a planning year and is not applicable to bids for an annual combination. Bidders may submit bids for ZRCs at multiple price points but cannot exceed the ZRC target for a given season in a planning year. Again, you must bid for at least four ZRCs for a given season at each price point. This following example is illustrative only. So for spring 2026-2027 season, this bidder is submitting bids for 69 ZRCs in total, concerning bids for the spring season individually, as well as bids for the annual combination. This bidder can submit bids for ZRCs in a number of ways and submits the bids shown here. Note that it's not necessary for the procurement administrator to identify all ZRCs bid at a given price as winning bids. So for example, if a bidder submits the bid shown here on the slide, it may be the case that the procurement administrator need only to select five of the 10 ZRCs bid at $50 per megawatt day for the spring season individually. There's also the concept of maximum willing supply for bids for AIC capacity products. The ZRC maximum willing supply, also referred to as ZRC MWS, is a maximum number of ZRCs across MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs that a bidder wants to win for a particular season of a planning year. The procurement administrator calculates the default ZRC MWS, which is the minimum of the target for a season of a planning year, and the number of ZRCs bid for that season of a planning year. The number of ZRCs bid for a season of a planning year consists of ZRCs bid, again, across MISO delivered and financially settled ZRCs for the season individually, as well as ZRCs bid for the individual or the annual combination that includes that season. Bidders may, but are not required to, specify a ZRC MWS for a season to override this default. Please note that the bidder specified ZRC MWS must be at least four ZRCs for a planning year. In certain scenarios, the ZRC or the ZRC default maximum willingness to supply may be less than four ZRCs. When this is the case, the specified ZRC MWS should remain equal to the ZRC default maximum willingness to supply. For instance, for a given planning year, if a bidder only bids for three total annual combination ZRCs and no ZRCs of it on a season alone. The ZRC default maximum length of supply for a given season will be 3 ZRCs. I'll now go over an example on this slide. And again, note that the screenshot is illustrative only and does not follow the exact bid form. Please note that this example is for MISO delivered ZRCs, but is also applicable to financially settled ZRCs. Say a bidder wants to win up to 100 ZRCs for the winter season, denoted in the cell outline green at the bottom of the slide. The bidder would specify a ZRC maximum willingness to supply for winter of 100 ZRCs, but could submit bids for 64 ZRCs for the winter season individually and submit bids for 74 annual combination ZRCs. In total, the bidder is bidding 138 ZRCs across the winter season individually and the annual combination. However, the procurement administrator could select as winning bids only up to 100 ZRCs from some combination of the ZRCs bid for the individual winter season or for the annual combination. Bidders wishing to read more about the ZRC maximum willingness to supply are encouraged to download and read Appendix 19 to the RFP rules that is posted to the RFP website. Similar to the bid evaluation for energy products, the bid evaluation for capacity products proceeds in two steps for each planning year. Step one, bids that fail to meet the benchmarks are eliminated. And step two, the package that yields the lowest average cost per megawatt day is selected.